Welcome, everyone, and thank you all for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now, I will turn the meeting over to your host, Gladys Dutrell. You may begin.
Good morning. I hereby call to order this fourth meeting of the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission for the year 2021. It's been a year since COVID-19 has changed how we live and work, and we ask everyone to continue to take steps to stay safe and healthy. At this time, I would like to take a roll call of my fellow commissioners who are joining us on this meeting call. Commissioner Ralph Unora.
Present.
Commissioner John Coleman.
Present.
Vice Chairman David Sweet.
Present.
A quorum is present, and we will continue on with our meeting. At today's meeting, which is open to the public, the Commission will act on various matters. There is no opportunity for the public to address the Commission at this public meeting. We appreciate your patience as we continue to work together in these unique circumstances presented by the pandemic. The PUC office buildings remain closed. However, the Commission is fully operational with personnel working remotely. The public meeting motions, statements, and audio also will be available on the Commission's COVID-19 webpage later today. The first matter on this morning's agenda is the approval of the minutes for the meeting of February 4th, 2021, and I will call upon Commissioner Coleman, who is the editor of these minutes.
Thanks, Chairman. I reviewed the minutes of the February 4th, 2021 public meeting, and I move that they be approved as submitted.
You have heard the motion to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Sweet, second.
Any discussion or further edits? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0. And at this time, I will turn it over to the Commission Secretary, Rosemary Chiavetta, who will lead us through this morning's agenda.
Good morning, Madam Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Your various bureaus and offices have prepared the following agenda for your consideration. Therefore, let us begin on page one with matters presented by Director Monahan and the Bureau of Audits. It is recommended in an omnibus motion that the Commission adopt all of the items on page one, beginning with the release of the audit report for the Metropolitan Edison Company, and continuing the omnibus to include all three items on page two, and ending the omnibus on page three with the audit report of the Wellsboro Electric Company.
Is there a motion to adopt all of the staff recommendations?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page four and matters presented by Director Sophie and the Office of Special Assistance, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the petition of the Delaware Sewer Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I have a motion.
Vice Chairman Sweet.
Thank you, and I will give a shortened version, so please place my motion upon the record as if I had read it in its entirety. Before the Commission is the petition of the Delaware Sewer Company to order Pennsylvania American Water Company, PAWC, to close the transaction by March 1st, 2021, and the answer a new matter of PAWC in opposition. This is a petition, to enforce the Commission's prior order approving the acquisition of DSC by imposing a deadline for closing the transaction that was not provided for in the order. In this case, the Commission approved a joint petition for approval of settlement of all issues in a final order entered March 26, 2020, which directed PAWC to acquire the Delaware Sewer Company under the Commission's Section 529 process. The transaction is comprised of the transfer of the assets of the Delaware Sewer Company to PAWC, as well as the purchase of 140 acres of land owned by Forest City Partnership that will be used to provide service to the existing 39 homes in the Wild Acres development in Delaware Township, Pike County, as well as to the remaining build-out of 306 lots. An executed land transfer agreement between Forest City Partners and PAWC was attached to the settlement, which was subsequently approved by the Commission. The deadline for the closing of the transaction, the Commission's order, is 30 days after the completion of a list of factors listed in the settlement agreement. Whether or not that list has been fulfilled is not in the factual record. The Commission cannot grant the enforcement action as requested and will not impose an arbitrary deadline. I note, too, that PAWC has not filed a notice that the transaction cannot be completed. We are not inclined to disrupt the settlement agreement this time. The Commission's main concern is that the 39 customers of the Delaware Sewer Company receive safe, adequate, and reasonable service as soon as possible. The present system includes cracked and broken pipes leading to puddles of effluent on an unprotected sand dune, which, due to its lack of fencing, hosts recreational all-terrain vehicles instead of providing sound, environmentally safe disposal of wastewater. Until this transaction is completed, those customers are not receiving the safe, adequate, and reasonable service that all Pennsylvania citizens should be able to expect from a public utility. To give the parties an opportunity to address outstanding issues, I will move that the Commission require the parties to provide an update on their progress no later than 3 months from the entry date of the order. At that time, if no progress has been made, the matter will be reevaluated by the Commission's Technical Utility Services Bureau, which will make a recommendation that will include a closer scrutiny of the Delaware Sewer Company affiliates and a determination of whether to return the matter to the Office of Administrative Law Judge for independent determination in the future of the issues. Therefore, I move that, number one, the petition of the Delaware Sewer Company to order Pennsylvania American Water Company to close the transaction by March 1st, 2021 is denied. That Pennsylvania American Water Company shall file an update on the status and progress of this case no later than 3 months after the date of the Commission's final order regarding the matter. Three, that the Commission's Bureau of Technical Utility Services shall evaluate the status update and prepare a recommendation to the Commission if appropriate. And finally, the Office of Special Assistance prepare an appropriate order consistent with this motion.
You have heard the motion of You have heard the motion of Vice Chairman Sweet. Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing no discussion. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0. On the matter as amended, is there any objection to taking the previous roll call? Hearing no objection, the matter as amended by the Sweet motion passes 4-0.
Continuing on page 4. It is recommended that the Commission approve the proposed opinion and order in the formal complaint of the Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement versus David's Transport Incorporated.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
In order, so
Coleman, Coleman, second.
Motion by Commissioner Unora, second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, just a very brief comment. I'm going to be voting no on this recommendation. I continue to be concerned that the Commission and its staff spends an extraordinary amount of time and effort and in the old days paperwork, today electronic work, on these kinds of cases, which I think emanate, quite frankly, from a long-standing process that's rooted in a faulty reading of our regulations. And the fact that almost every meeting we have one or more of these cases where someone actually had the required insurance, but it wasn't adequately documented by the insurer, or there was inadequate communication between the insured, and the commission. This has gone on for several years over a $500 civil fine. And I don't think the ratepayers are well served by this. Certainly that the individual consumer is not, and our resources are expended needlessly. I once again call for a thorough examination of this process so that we can come up with a better way to deal with this ongoing issue. And in this particular case, there's a concern about communications that could well be rooted in the pandemic situation, since we all know of the Postal Service's difficulties and the occasional slip that occurs through purely electronic communication. So I will be voting no on this recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Sweet. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 I will also be voting aye. Any opposed?
No, Sweet opposed.
The motion passes 3-1, noting the dissent of Vice Chairman Sweet.
Turning to page 5, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the joint petition of Verizon, Pennsylvania, and Metropolitan Telecommunications of Pennsylvania.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Coleman, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 6, and matters presented by Director Diskin and the Bureau of Technical Utility Services, it is recommended that the Commission adopt an omnibus motion, both items on page 6, beginning with the application of ex-tenant Asset Entity LLC, and continuing the omnibus to include both items on page 7, and ending the omnibus on page 8 with the revised supplement filed by Aqua Pennsylvania Wastewater.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Sweet.
Or a second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman. I heard Vice Chairman Sweet move first, but I do thank Commissioner Unora. So the second is by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
It is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed order in the Combined Price Index Report of Frontier Communications of Breezewood.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Get or a second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Unora. Under discussion, let me please state my normal statement on the record that consistent with Section 1102 of the Commonwealth Ethics Act, I will recuse myself from this matter because my brother is employed by Frontier Communications. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
I heard one aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I will be recusing myself, so the motion passes 3-0.
Continuing on page 8, it is recommended in an omnibus motion that the Commission adopt the remaining item on page 8, the security certificate of Aqua, Pennsylvania, and continuing the omnibus to include all three items on page 9, ending the omnibus on page 9 with the application of Electric Rate Select, LLC.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Sweet, so moved.
I heard both Vice Chairman Sweet and Commissioner Coleman.
Coleman will second.
Okay. Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Hicks and the Law Bureau that the Commission adopt the proposed order in the petition of T-Mobile Northeast, LLC.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 11, it is recommended by Chief ALJ Rainey and the Office of Administrative Law Judge that the Commission adopt ALJ Heap's recommended decision in the rate proceeding of the Audubon Water Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Sweet, so moved. Sweet, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I have a statement on the matter.
Commissioner Unora.
I ask that my statement be entered into the records if I read it in its entirety. Before the Commission is a joint petition for full settlement of a rate proceeding for Audubon Water Company. I would like to commend the parties for their work in this developing this settlement. Included in the settlement is a term that provides that Audubon inspect, test, and where necessary, replace fire hydrants. Specifically, the settlement sets a plan for Audubon to work with the Lower Providence Township and its fire marshal to address hydrant low flow concerns. Under the settlement, the company will begin a program to update most of its fire hydrants and prioritize the list of high importance hydrants identified by Lower Providence Township and the fire marshal to address the hydrants of greatest concerns first. Audubon will also perform volume tests on hydrants chosen by the fire marshal, and if any show deficient water volume, the company will develop a plan to remedy the issue. Fully functioning fire hydrants are essential to the provision of safe, reliable, and continuous public fire service. Given the public safety interest involved in this matter and the Commission's responsibility to ensure that tariff services are appropriately accounted for, I will separately refer this matter to our Bureau of Technical Utility Services for further monitoring and as may be deemed warranted. I will also be closely monitoring the reliability of tariff fire hydrants services during my tenure at the Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Unora. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 4-0.
Madam Chairman, that concludes regular agenda. Turning now to the carry-in agenda, and on page one of the carry-in, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order regarding the petition for reconsideration filed by the Office of Consumer Advocate in the rate case of Columbia Gas of Pennsylvania.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Coleman, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Madam Chairman, that concludes the carry-in agenda. Turning to the supplemental carry-in agenda, it has been requested that the motion of Vice Chairman Sweet be presented first regarding the public utility service termination moratorium.
I will call on Vice Chairman Sweet for his motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On March 6, 2020, Governor Tom Wolf issued a proclamation of disaster emergency that identified the COVID-19 pandemic as a disaster emergency affecting the entire Commonwealth. On March 13th of that year, relying on both the proclamation and the Commission's authority under the provisions of Section 1501 of the Public Utility Code, Chairman Brown Dutrell issued an emergency order, the March 20 emergency order, establishing a prohibition on the termination of public utility service and directing the reconnection of service to customers previously terminated to the extent it can be done safely for the duration of the proclamation or until a time otherwise established by the Commission. Subsequently, on October 13, 2020, the Commission entered an order, the October order, moving from an absolute moratorium to a less restrictive phase. The order allowed for terminations to resume effective November 9, 2020, for residential customers with incomes above 300% of the federal poverty level and for small business customers. Prior to terminating a customer, each utility was required to send a communication, a pre-termination notice, to customers who had unpaid balances that put them at risk of termination at least 10 days before sending the standard termination notice. The October order also provided protections from termination for residential customers, so-called protected customers, with incomes below 300% of the FPL, who applied for all assistance programs for which the customer was eligible and requested a payment arrangement from the utility, if applicable. The Commission established other important consumer protections, including the waiver of all connection, reconnection, deposit, and late payment fees for protected customers, an expansion of the medical certificate requirements, flexible income verification processes, and data reporting. The Commission also provided protections for small businesses, including the offering of a payment arrangement of no less than 18 months to those customers. Utilities were directed to file monthly reports regarding the number of at-risk accounts as well as total arrearages by customer class. These protections and reporting requirements are to remain in place until March 31 of 2021 or until the Commission takes further action on this matter, whichever is sooner. In December, after our October order was entered, Congress approved a significant stimulus package, which directed roughly $848 million to Pennsylvania in funding for rent and utility assistance. A percentage of that funding was directly allocated to larger counties, which are currently establishing programs to ensure that this much-needed funding is received by residents. A larger percentage, $570 million in total, was directed to Commonwealth and was just this week distributed to all other counties. The Pennsylvania General Assembly had recently passed legislation appropriating these particular funds and established a grant program overseen by the Department of Human Services, DHS, and administered as stated by the counties. As DHS Secretary Miller notes in the comments submitted to this document, the agency is currently, as we speak, working with the counties to operationalize the Emergency Rental Assistance Program, ERAP or ERAP. Furthermore, Congress approved just yesterday a $1.9 trillion COVID relief package, which includes an estimated $4.5 billion in additional funding to the Low-Income Energy Assistance Program, LIHEAP. Once approved, these LIHEAP funds, combined with assistance from ERAP, will significantly reduce the impact of lifting the moratorium and prevent potentially hundreds of thousands of Pennsylvanians from termination of their utility service. In order to maximize the use of all available funding streams, to reduce or even eliminate the nearly $1 billion in accumulated arrears, I believe the Commission should retain the moratorium protections that are currently in place for protected customers and payment accommodations to small businesses until July 5th, 2021. Excuse me, that is July 15th, 2021. This extension is important for a number of reasons. First and foremost, it will provide more needed time for the disbursement of the federal and state grants to reach customers and utilities. And this was noted and requested in comments filed by Governor Wolf himself, Secretary Miller, public officials from both the General Assembly and the Philadelphia City Council, as well as numerous concerned citizens. The extra time will also provide interested parties the opportunity to openly and efficiently discuss post-moratorium customer protections that can be more easily offered and effectively implemented than those provided in the October order. To expand on this point, I found that the comments filed in this docket in response to the October order illustrate the need for what I've been calling for throughout this entire proceeding, the last year, and that is a real stakeholder process in which the parties, albeit vertically, can advance positions, including, importantly, practical limitations, with the goal of identifying areas of consensus. It is far more productive and beneficial to all utility customers in the Commonwealth to implement a post-moratorium plan that not only allows time for the actual disbursement and use of federal state assistance, but also is emblematic of a give-and-take approach rather than governmental directions that lack meaningful input from the very entities tasked with implementation. Therefore, with that in mind, I would direct the Commission's Law Bureau, Bureaus of Consumer Services and Technical Assistance, to continue their work by convening a stakeholder process on the following three issues. First, identification of enhanced customer protections, payment arrangements, or assistance programs that can be practically implemented while providing the most relief to struggling customers after the expiration of the moratorium, which I would, as noted, make on July 15th of this year. Suggested resolution for customer arrearages that have accrued since the Commission's March 2020 emergency order. For example, will the associated uncollected amounts flow through rates as normal and or be amortized through regulatory assets, or should some other model of, quote, socialization, unquote, of costs be established, or any arrearage, quote, forgiveness, unquote, be contemplated? Thirdly, additional data reporting requirements that would benefit the Commission's understanding of the short and long-term impact of COVID-19 on customer arrearages. Within this time frame, I also strongly urge utilities to develop effective outreach plans to notify and assist low-income customers in the enrollment of LIHEAP and their customer assistance programs. I remain unconvinced that the threat of termination is the only real way to garner the much-needed attention to these programs. With the nearly $1 trillion now available but not yet dispersed in federal and state fundings, it is imperative not just that our utilities find new ways of extending support to to eligible customers, but also that these efforts work in concert with state and local initiatives led by the Department of Human Services and our General Assembly, our local officials, and the Governor's Office, community leaders, and our own communications team. Therefore, I move that the Commission's March 13, 2020 emergency order, a docket number M-2020-3019244, as amended by the October 20 order, remain in effect until July 15, 2021, or until the Commission takes further action, whichever is later. That the Commission's Bureau of Consumer Services, Technical Utility Services, and Law Bureau convene a stakeholder process within 15 days of the entry of this order to address the three issues identified in this motion. Further, the Commission's Bureau of Consumer Services, Technical Utility Services, and Law Bureau provide a recommendation on the three issues in this motion to the Commission no later than July 6th of 2021 to be acted upon at a subsequent public meeting. Fourth, that the Law Bureau prepare an order consistent with this motion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You have heard the motion of Vice Chairman Sweet. Is there a second? I will second the motion. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam Chairman, this is Commissioner Coleman. I'm going to be voting no on this motion. I do have a statement that I had for what was to be the first item on the agenda that will explain my reasons for why I'm voting no. So I will wait for that moment should that come this morning.
Thank you, Commissioner Coleman. Any further discussion? Let me just say I understand what the complexities of, we're encouraged about all the federal funding that is coming down, and I understand what the complexities of the administration and getting those funds out to consumers, and I am supportive of a delay in lifting the moratorium as stated in Vice Chairman Sweet's motion. So if there's no further discussion, I will call the roll call. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
I also will be voting aye. Any opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed.
The motion passes 2-2, not passes, excuse me. The vote is 2-2, so the motion fails for lack of a majority.
Returning to the remaining item on the supplemental calendar, there is your motion, Madam Chairman, regarding the Public Utility Service Termination Moratorium.
Thank you. I will ask that Vice Chairman Sweet preside while I offer my motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and you are recognized.
Thank you. I ask that my motion be spread upon the record as if I read it in its entirety. I will skip some of the parts in terms of the history. The current utility termination moratorium and protections were established by the Commission's October 13th order, which do expire later this month, March 31st. I've reviewed the numerous comments filed in response to the October 13th order, and I thank the stakeholders for their participation in this process. Those comments, the monthly account data filed by the utilities at this docket, as well as Pennsylvania's COVID-19 and employment statistics, guide my belief that it is time to return to the regular collections process as set forth in the Public Utility Code and the Commission's regulations, with some modifications. First, I acknowledge that even though Pennsylvania's COVID-19 diagnoses and deaths are decreasing, the previous tragic peaks reached in 2020 and January of this year, and vaccinations have begun, the pandemic is not yet over. However, the pandemic's effect on the Commonwealth's unemployment numbers has changed. Unemployment has improved from an astounding 16.1% in April of last year to 10.3% in August of last year to 6.7% in January of this year. This downward trajectory bodes well for for Pennsylvania's economy if this trend continues, but I am cognizant that even at 6.7%, Pennsylvania's unemployment is over 3% percentage points higher than it was prior to the onset of the pandemic. While the economic reality is much improved, but not yet optimal, successive stimulus packages by the federal government continue to counter a portion of the negative employment impacts. This past December's federal stimulus package, the Coronavirus Response and Relief Supplemental Appropriations Act of 2021, directed roughly $848 million in funding to Pennsylvania for rent and utility assistance. Of that funding, $278 million has already been allocated to larger counties, which are working to establish funding distribution programs, while appropriately $570 million has been directed to all Pennsylvania counties. Our General Assembly has also passed legislation to appropriate the funds and establish a grant program, the Emergency Rental Assistance Program, or ERAP, administered by the Pennsylvania Department of Human Services. Additionally, the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 passed Congress yesterday. It contains extended unemployment compensation, stimulus checks, monthly payments for families with children, and assistance for low-income water and wastewater customers. The ARPA also makes a significant additional allocation to the low-income Home Energy Assistance Program, or LIHEAP, which directs approximately $270 million more in home energy grants for low-income payment-troubled customers in Pennsylvania. This amount exceeds and is in addition to the previous LIHEAP funding allocated to Pennsylvania, of which $40 million remains available. Utilities are strongly encouraged to notify their customers of all available funding sources through any available means of communication. In light of the foregoing, it is now time to return to the regular collections process as set forth in the Public Utility Code and the Commission's regulations with some additional protections. The utility service termination moratorium is lifted, and disconnections may commence effective April 1, 2021. The following modifications to existing collection policies shall apply to all electric, natural gas, water, wastewater, telecommunications, and steam utilities subject to the Commission's jurisdiction until December 31, 2021. Number one, the residential customers with incomes below 200% of the federal poverty income guideline, for those residential customers, a utility is required to offer a payment arrangement length of a minimum of 5 years while allowing the customer to agree to or request a shorter payment arrangement and the utility to agree to a longer payment arrangement. Number two, for residential customers with incomes between 250% and 350%, of the Federal Poverty Income Guideline, a utility is required to offer a payment arrangement length of a minimum of 2 years while allowing the customer to agree to or request a shorter payment arrangement and the utility to agree to a longer payment arrangement. For residential customers with incomes over 300%, a utility is required to offer a payment arrangement for a minimum length of 1 year while allowing the customer to agree to or request a shorter payment arrangement and the utility to agree to a longer payment arrangement. For small business customers, a utility is required to offer a payment arrangement for a minimum length of 18 months while allowing the customer to agree to or request a shorter payment arrangement and the utility to agree to a longer payment arrangement. In response to informal and formal complaints filed by December 31, 2021, the Commission may order one payment arrangement consistent with the terms outlined in numbers 1 through 3 above for a residential customer who is eligible for a new payment arrangement under the code, or order a payment arrangement consistent with the terms outlined in number 4 above for a small business customer. Utilities and the Commission's Bureau of Consumer Services may accept income verification and business status information obtained through flexible means, for example, over the phone or via electronic mail, for the purpose of qualifying customers for payment arrangements or universal service programs. Consistent with our May 13, 2020 secretarial letter authorizing regulatory assets, utilities shall continue tracking extraordinary, non-recurring, incremental COVID-19-related expenses and shall maintain detailed accounting records for such expenses. In addition to the filing already due on March 15th, utilities shall report the following information to the Commission quarterly for the remaining three quarters of 2021. A total number of accounts at risk of termination at the end of the month and for the same month in 2019 and 2020. B, the total aggregate dollars of arrears at the end of the month and for the same month in 2020 and 2019 and 2020. And C, the number of accounts disconnected for non-payment with dollar amounts owed. I wish to thank the utilities for efficiently implementing the requirements of our prior pandemic-related directives. I especially thank the utilities implemented Commission-approved COVID-19 customer protection plans. Those plans will remain in effect according to their individual terms. Therefore, I move that, one, the Commission's Law Bureau shall prepare an opinion and order consistent with this motion, and two, this docket shall be marked closed upon the filing of the last quarterly report required by number 8 above, but no later than January 31st, 2020. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there a second to your motion?
This is Commissioner Coleman. I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Coleman. Is there any further discussion on this motion?
Vice Chairman, this is Commissioner Coleman. I do have some comments to offer for the record.
You are recognized.
Thank you. Well, first let me start by, I want to commend the Chair for her leadership on this matter. As we've been discussing this over the last year, I think it's clear that this is not an easy subject, and I don't know that there's necessarily any wrong answer here. This is really about trying to strike what I believe is the appropriate balance and trying to encourage or incentivize those customers that are faced with an arrearage to engage with their utility to avail themselves of many of the programs that have been discussed this morning and that I will touch upon here in a moment in my statement. The second point I wanted to make is I am sympathetic to what has now been affectionately known as the dueling C motions between the chair and the vice chair. And again, I don't want to make light of it, but it's a difficult decision. And I again felt that the chair has made a more compelling case for what I believe is the appropriate path forward. I believe that the chair's motion this morning is consistent with the elements that we approved in the chair's motion back on October the 8th, 2020. And I believe that it does strike the right balance between those who are able to pay their utility bills and those that are not able to pay their utility bills. So I am going to be supporting the chair's motion this morning. So I want to ask that my statement be entered in the record as though I read it in its entirety. The governor issued his proclamation of disaster emergency on March 6, 2020 that identified the COVID-19 pandemic as a disaster emergency. Pursuant to this proclamation, the governor ordered that the closure of all schools and non-life-sustaining businesses, banning large gatherings, and ordered all Pennsylvania citizens to stay at home, except under very limited circumstances. March 13, 2020, the commission issued an emergency order establishing a prohibition on the termination of public utility service for all customers in the duration of the proclamation or until a time otherwise established by the commission. So this not only captured residential but also non-residential customers in this moratorium. The commission reasoned that the continued provision of utility service for all customers, even those substantially behind on their bills for utility service, was necessary for the safety of the public at that time. And I emphasize the word customers that may be substantially behind, that what we captured in this full moratorium are customers that have been habitually delinquent, and some cases are out beyond $10,000 in delinquency. And for those customers, I don't think there's any program or any assistance that is going to be able to help them recover from that kind of a delinquency. So I think it's important to have a full appreciation of all of the customers that are caught up in this, not those just as a result of the COVID pandemic, but customers that have historically been and habitually behind in their utility bills that have now move themselves deeper and deeper into arrearage with really no way out. And we've seen some of those cases before on our public meeting agenda, and I believe the vice chairman appropriately described them as the worst of the worst cases, that they are very, very difficult, heart-wrenching situations that are now before the commission to have to decide. So I just want to keep in mind that there are those customers that are also in this process as well. Over the course of the last summer and fall, many of the restrictions put in place on travel, schools, and businesses were lifted by the governor. On that basis, the commission voted to end the absolute moratorium on October 8, 2020. Public utilities were permitted to resume the disconnection process by issuing notices to customers. Residential customers at or below 300% of the federal poverty level were classified as, quote, protected, end quote. Protected customers could avoid termination through March 31st, 2021 if they met certain conditions. Despite having the power to resume the termination process for the past due balances, public utilities elected to use this option for relatively few accounts. The level of terminations appear to be roughly consistent with the numbers from the 2019-2020 period. 3 weeks after the termination moratorium ended, the, quote, winter moratorium, end quote, began on December 1st. The winter moratorium, which has been part of the Public Utility Code since 2004, prohibits termination to residential gas or electric customers at or below 250% of the federal poverty level from December 1st through March 31st. The question now before us is whether to renew or modify the special protections we put in place last October. In considering this question, I have reviewed the comments filed in response to the October 8, 2020 order. I've also reviewed the reports prepared and filed by public utilities regarding the number of accounts and amounts of dollars in arrearage. I have also taken notice of enacted state and federal legislation that has provided or will provide financial assistance to public utility customers with arrearages. Some of those funds initially allocated to Pennsylvania remain unspent. Meanwhile, the new sources of funding are already being made available to customers by county government. I do want to take a moment this morning to commend our county governments for expeditiously moving forward and setting up the infrastructure to be able to manage these funds. So kudos to our county commissioners for being able to do that in such short notice. The public utilities have affirmed that the disconnection of service is the last resort. No one wants to see a customer terminated. The utilities, the Public Utility Commission, and certainly not the customer. So termination, as we've discussed previously, is the last resort. They would much prefer to keep than lose customers, and the utilities have an array of programs and services designed to achieve just that. However, utility service, like any service, must eventually be paid for. The Commission affirmed the constitutional right of utilities to recover their costs through the creation of a regulatory asset that tracks the costs associated with the termination moratorium. Public utilities will be given the opportunity to recover those costs from ratepayers, including those who have stayed current with their bills. Needed to be said, the Commission is obligated to consider and balance the interest of all customer classes, not just those who understandably had difficulty remaining current with their utility bills over the past 12 months. Based on a review of the data and the comments, it appears that not as many customers as we had hoped took advantage of the opportunity to enter into agreements, apply for assistance, or satisfy their arrearages. While the overall number of customers in arrearage has fluctuated, the size of the arrearages has continued to grow substantially and disproportionately. The comments filed by the utility suggest that the moratorium and the public attention it has drawn has affected historic customer practices regarding the management of arrearages and the maintenance of those services. In essence, customers are not engaging and availing themselves of the customer assistance resources that are available to them to assist with their arrearages. But well-intentioned, the extended termination moratorium of 2020, which overlapped with the 2019-2020 winter moratorium and ended just 3 weeks prior to the 2020-2021 winter moratorium, may have worked to discourage the normal customer practice of entering into payment arrangements, applying for assistance, and thereby reducing arrearages. This seems to be confirmed by the level of customer participation in utility assistance program, which has remained relatively stable despite very significant economic dislocations over the past year. As utilities resume recertification of these programs, participation levels are expected to decrease significantly. Accordingly, I find it appropriate to reaffirm our prior decision regarding the moratorium. However, I do support maintaining special rules for payment arrangements through the end of 2021, as outlined in the motion of the chair. Otherwise, I believe that the public utilities are able to and should resume normal operations and that they will work diligently to help customers maintain service. I am also assured and the citizens of this Commonwealth should be assured that strong consumer protections are already in place for public utility customers. The Commission's consumer protections are embodied in Chapter 56 of its regulations. These regulations were reviewed and updated in 2019 by a unanimous Commission vote. Public utility compliance with Chapter 56 is tracked, measured, and audited on a regular basis, and in my view, performance has been excellent. Separate and apart from Chapter 56, the Commission's electric and gas utilities are required to fund and operate universal service programs to assist low-income customers in maintaining service. For the larger electric and gas utilities, these programs include customer assistance programs, which offer customers the opportunity to receive a reduced rate for as long as they're income eligible and to have their outstanding arrearages forgiven by making regular payments on their utility balance. As of a report released several years ago, Pennsylvania's universal service programs were the second largest as measured by funding levels in the nation. Over the past year, utilities have modified existing programs or sponsored new programs to provide customer assistance. I encourage our utilities to continue these efforts as appropriate. In conclusion, I believe that today's motion strikes the right approach and balance in protecting and balancing the interest of all customers and utilities, which is one of the goals of any commission action. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Coleman. Is there any other discussion?
Vice Chairman, I would like to be recognized for discussion, even though I offer the motion. I want to just...
You are recognized.
Thank you. I just want to emphasize some of the things that I had in my motion. And you know, I hear the comments of Commissioner Coleman, and some of the things that he was saying I definitely concur with. And what I wanted to reemphasize in terms of the economic outlook here in Pennsylvania, and the idea, the emphasis behind this motion is moving towards that track of a more positive economic outlook, but also recognizing that there are still people that are hurting, and the additional protections in place is meant to provide as a support and safety net for them. But also, as I mentioned in my motion, and recognizing also some of the concerns expressed by Vice Chairman Sweet in terms of the distribution of these funds and the concerns with that, I just want to reach out and strongly urge the utilities to focus on the coordination with the counties to ensure the efficient distribution of those funds. As I think both Commissioner Coleman has stated and Vice Chairman Sweet has mentioned in his previous motion, we know that relief is there. It's coming. So it would be unreasonable to terminate customers when we know that relief is in sight. So I do want to emphasize that. I also understand that utility arrears figures are significantly higher than normal expected figures. So it is my hope that the Commission will address the potential long-term economic impacts of COVID-19 arrears in the near future for the betterment of customers and utilities alike. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make one brief comment, because obviously this has been a matter that we all have had a lot to say about over a period of time. Could say a lot more, but will not at this point. I just want to indicate that I am going to vote in favor of the Chair's motion, even though it's relatively obvious from my past positions and my now defeated motion that this is not my preferred course of action. However, given the parliamentary posture we're in, the chair's motion is in effect better than nothing. And I commend the chair for finding some ground in which a consensus, albeit a shaky one, is able to be found and to be identified. In short, this is not what I would do if I were the sole vote, but obviously in our system, I am not. And this is a better alternative given the protections that have been included and will continue on for some time. It's a better alternative than a complete end to the moratoria in place at the moment and reverting to only the protections that were already provided in law. So that is my position given the vote on the prior motion. Does anybody else have any additional comments on this subject? Hearing none, all those in favor of the chairman's motion will signify by saying aye.
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 I hear four affirmative votes in favor. The motion is adopted by a 4-0 vote. I believe can be corrected that there's no underlying matter which now needs to be voted upon, but this motion is adopted and will be effective. And Madam Chair, I yield the gavel to you.
Thank you very much, Vice Chairman Sweet, and thank you to the commissioners. We know this has been a long and difficult road for all of us, but I do thank you and your staff. There's no other business to come before us, Madam Secretary?
No, Madam Chairman and Commissioners, that concludes all agenda items to be considered today.
So thank you. Before we do close out from today's meeting, we do want to recognize Commissioner Unora for our annual Fix a Leak Week statement. Commissioner Unora.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Next week, beginning March 15th, is National Fix a Leak Week, and we will be highlighting the importance of safe drinking water, along with the role of water efficiency and conservation and effects. As a member of the Neighborhood Committee on Water, I feel it's important to increase the awareness and understanding about issues surrounding the use of water. For example, easy to fix household leaks nationwide waste nearly 1 trillion gallons of water per year. That's equivalent to the amount of water used in 11 million annually. According to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, an estimated 10% of all homes have leaks that waste more than 10,000 gallons of water every year. That's the same amount of water that it takes to wash over 300 loads of laundry. Households across the country are encouraged to check their fixtures for leaks and consider the environmental and economic impact on wasted water. We encourage consumers to check the PUC website and social media channels during the coming week for tips and information about simple things to do to identify and fix leaks around the house. A little leak really does make a big difference. We hope that you will check for leaks and drips in your homes today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Unora. And thank you all for joining us for today's PUC public meeting. The public meeting motions and statements and audio will be available on the Commission's COVID-19 webpage later today. And with that, nothing else coming before us, I will entertain a motion to adjourn today's meeting.
Coleman, so moved.
Sweet, second.
Moved by Commissioner Coleman, second by Vice Chairman Sweet. All those in favor of adjourning, please say aye.
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 I also agree. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.